Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? I'm your host, James Lopez, and welcome back to the dopest and realest podcast about fatherhood around. Thank you once again for not only taking the time to listen to what I have to say alone or with a guest, but for also sharing this podcast with your friends. I always tell people to make their presence felt, and every week you are making your presence felt by commenting on the podcast and even sharing it. Remember, fathers need other fathers, and one that shines a light on another dad doing good never loses his own shine. Tell another dad that you know about the podcast and all of our content. You never know how it can help them until they know about it. So share it. Thank you once again. This week was a rough one. We have been dealing with COVID for over 100 days in New York City. And now we have another harsh reality to deal with. Racism and inequality. The intro of the podcast says it all. We learn from the good times and even the bad times. This is one of those bad times. If you haven't seen what's going on with the protesting, you either live under a rock or simply don't care about others that may or may not look like you. I, for one, haven't just noticed what's going on, but have lived it for the past 40 years of my life as a dark-skinned Latino, as a dark-skinned Puerto Rican at that. My dad never let me forget, since I was raised during the crack era of the 1980s in the South Bronx. Back then, everyone was a perp in the hood and was treated as such by the police and others that didn't look like us. I witnessed friends and even my own family get harassed by the police simply because we fit the description in an area where everyone fits the description. Let me repeat that. I witnessed friends and even my own family get harassed by the police simply because we fit the description in an area where everyone fits the description. My dad taught me that it wasn't always a colored thing, but it sure did feel like it. We had officer friends, but that's where the trust for the system kind of stopped. I have been pulled over and told that a person like me shouldn't be driving the car that I drive in the neighborhood that I live. So when someone tells me there is no way possible something like this could happen, I don't even get mad at it anymore. I continue along like nothing happened, even though something that shouldn't did happen. That's how I was trained. That's how we were trained. You say there's no racism out there? We laugh at it because we are so used to it, and that's not surprising us anymore. That's not the way to live, but yet we live like that. We live like that because we don't think that will ever change. So what's a father, a black father, supposed to do when it comes to teaching their kids about inequality? Do we keep it real with them, or do we sugarcoat it because they might not be living the way we used to live? Now with three kids of my own, two that are light-skinned and one that resembles my dark tone, it would be ludicrous of me not to talk to them about the racism and inequality in America. They aren't being raised in the hood like me. They are being raised with a white picket fence, immune to all the outside bullshit, because that's what I worked hard to provide. But it's still imperative that they know how some might view us. You can't teach unless you talk. And this weekend, we attended a Black Lives Matter protest that did all the talking for me. To be honest, I was afraid to take the kids to the protest. The media shows all the negative things, like looting or the police beating people up. Y'all know how the media does. It had me worried. What would happen if I took my son to a protest? Could he get hurt? Would I have to smack a racist in front of him? How will we take the time to talk about what's going on when we are busy chanting and walking? All legitimate worries, but there is too much at stake. What about the positive things that a protest brings? Like solidarity, open dialogue. Oh, and how about people voicing their true feelings? Those positive things are sometimes avoided or even downplayed by the media or society. So taking my son to a protest actually was the best thing I could ever do, even though I was fearful at first. Off we went to march with our people, one together, all together. From the very beginning, a crowd of over 1,000 Staten Islanders of all races came together to chant, "One together, all together." But that chant was evident before we even started our 4-mile walk. And my son realized that. He felt it. The minute we jumped out of our truck, my oldest could immediately see that it wasn't just people of color coming together. He got to see people from all walks of life, different social classes to ethnicities, standing together in solidarity, waiting to get our walk on for the right reasons. He's a kid, so the first thing he noticed was, of course, the sneakers people were wearing. That also gave me an easy way to remind him that even though we all look different, we all had similarities, sneakers being one of them. I even threw in a few jokes on how some people were wearing fake Yeezys just to be down. My son, being the little sneakerhead that he is, he knew what I was talking about and laughed. My way of calming myself down, because I was still thinking about all the bad things that could happen. All I kept thinking during the beginning was, what if some idiot tried to drive through us? How can I toss my son out the way? Hey, I told y'all before, I don't do the cute shit. I wasn't worried about a photo op. I was worried about my son's well-being. It took me a while to be fully invested in the march since I kept worrying about my baby. The funny thing about kids is that most of the time, if you don't see color or ethnicity, they don't either. I could tell my son was lost as to why we needed to march, but once we got there, I could tell that his brain was working. He saw signs that said Black Lives Matter, Stop Police Brutality, and one of my favorites, I don't want to be afraid that I might die because I'm getting pulled over. As sad as this sounds, when I get pulled over, I'm scared as fuck, and always have been, even if I did absolutely nothing wrong. All those signs showed that everyone there was there to fight the good fight. We were in it together as one, because we all knew that what was going on was wrong. We came together to get our collective voices heard. He didn't just see that from the protesters. He also saw that from strangers who were chilling outside of their houses, cheering us on. He saw them feeding hungry protesters, giving them water, and even at times giving them shelter to cool off or catch a breather. We were all in this together. The energy was infectious in the most positive way, and he got to feel it as well. I didn't even have to teach him that. The crowd did, and I'm thankful for that. Let's talk about the violence, or fear of violence, at protests. We all have seen the news. We all have seen it get violent and both sides blame each other. We can't say with 100% certainty whose fault it was at all times. But what we can say is that the violence gets us nowhere. That's a huge lesson that our kids need to learn. Where I come from, someone does you dirty or wrong, you don't talk much. You get right into action. Most of the time, that action turned into violence. And although sometimes it felt good, when you're fighting for equality, violence just doesn't cut it. They will use that against your message. We have seen it done over and over and over again. There's always that one antagonizer that spews hate, but the minute you punch them in their mouth, you are in the wrong. Some people like to win by getting punched in their face. We live in a weird world where people can say hateful shit, but use it against you the moment you lay hands on them. I'm always mindful of that and try to teach my son that. This time, the crowd of protesters did the teaching for me. We had about 3 of those instances while walking, and one really taught my son a lesson. It started with a light-skinned man screaming out his window that all lives matter, which it did, but that's not what we were here for. That we were blocking traffic, and of course calling everyone racist names. He was mad while driving on the side of the road that we weren't even impeding. But you know, he just had to say something. He had to be the tough guy and go against 1,000 angry humans. I'm telling you, man, people are crazy out here. Where I'm from, he would have been left bloody, and his car would have been left on bricks. Luckily for him, this wasn't the South Bronx in the 1980s. This was a peaceful protest. Immediately, a group of protesters started throwing ice-watered bottles at the guy's car while he continued to harass us. I thought it was going to get nasty. I thought that we, a crowd of 1,000 people, were going to attack and hurt this guy. I started nudging my son to the other side of the street to play it safe. I can take a hit. Someone hits my son, even if they are on my side, they are dying. But instead, a group of kids, a group of black organizers at that, stood in the way. They stood there blocking the bottles while telling everyone this isn't the way and uttered colorful words that did the trick. That right there proved so much and also taught my son a valuable lesson. We were being harassed by this light-skinned man, but the same people he was trying to hurt were the ones who stepped in and stopped him from getting hurt by the crowd. How crazy is that? The oppressor being helped by the people that he oppressed. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. He came after them, but yet they saved him. I guarantee you that's not how he's going to describe it to his friends, especially after the police forced him to leave. My son witnessed the whole thing, and I know he isn't going to forget it. The minute I started telling his mom about what happened, wow, homie went in and described it all. He was proud that our people didn't hurt someone who obviously didn't care about us. He saw what went down, but most of all, he learned what shouldn't go down. Fighting for what's right works best when we can come together and use our voices, not our imagination, when it comes to using violence as a means. And trust me, my mind was imagining some pretty horrific ways to teach that man a lesson, and thankfully, none of them were used. Not everyone will get it, but your voice still needs to be heard. What my son saw that day was people he never met talking about their fears and how inequality plays a role in those fears. He didn't just get that during our march. He also got that once we got to our final location, the 122nd precinct of Staten Island. There we saw men and women that we didn't know existed but had rallied the troops to speak. The police officers even made room for them to speak at the top of the staircase where we all could see them. It was like the police officers knew we were about bringing a change, not about harming them or putting them down. Hey, maybe, just maybe, they were against all the bad apples as well, even if they couldn't say it out loud. They welcomed us, and yes, they did have a choice. We all have seen what some bad apples have done to our people during these rough times. Instead, they protected us from the people that didn't get it. They stopped traffic for us to have a safe passage, and even offered cold water to the crowd at times. They understood why we were fighting, but not everyone will. That's a lesson itself. Not everyone will get it. Not only must you know that, but you have to take a step back and ask why they might not understand it. I have a friend who happens to be white. She's not my best friend. She's family. A day after the protest, she asked me why it was needed. She wasn't downplaying what we did. She really didn't understand why we had to do it in the first place. My friend is a friend that has been privileged. Not by her family or by the money that she obtained working hard. They were privileged because they have friends that look like me their whole entire life. They know color, but they don't see color. She couldn't fathom that others in the world couldn't see what was going on or take actions against it. To her, the world should open their eyes, and she's right, but that's not how things work. Once we talked about how it works and how it is perceived, she still looked at me lost. I couldn't even be mad at her. She still didn't get how others could not treat each other right. I won't stop trying to explain it to her as long as she keeps asking. She got why we were fighting, but just couldn't get how others could be so trash. That's my homie. She might not get it all, but she has a friend that's there to explain it when needed. Not everyone can walk in your shoes. If they don't get it, don't get mad. Explain it. If they are good people like her, you will be explaining it to get clarification, not to change the actions they take. Sometimes people don't get it, and that doesn't mean they are against you. If you know what you are standing for is right, be a good person and educate. That's how we get past this together, because an uneducated person might choose the wrong path unless we check them or educate them. Oh, and if they are your friends and they say something you don't agree with, check them. Because a friend who doesn't check their friends when in need isn't a friend. They are enablers and are as guilty as the perpetrator. As tough as I am, I was afraid of taking my kids to a protest. I was actually going to go alone, but I asked my son and he immediately said, "I want to go." He did it with the energy of a Christmas morning when he knows gifts are there for him, but doesn't really know what's going down. He was ecstatic to go and proud. I still wasn't sure, and even asked his mother what she thought. She looked at me like I was crazy for asking. I knew her answer would be take him, but I was still hesitant. I even told her to stay home with my other two kids, which she didn't do. She actually met us at the precinct, which got me pretty upset. I didn't want them there because I was afraid. I could protect my oldest, but having to protect three more people? Come on, man. I'm a superhero, but damn it. Looking back now, I'm glad we all could experience this together as a mixed family. Protesting didn't just make us feel like we were part of something bigger. It showed my kids that their lives matter, and so did their voices. It taught them that we all should fight for what's right and should all go against what's wrong, even if it's hard to do so. It taught them that sometimes people don't get it, but if we get together, our voices can and will be heard without having to lay hands on someone. Or at least we hope we don't have to lay hands on someone, but you know we will. I was overthinking the protest. I already had chose a daytime protest, which seemed safer, but I was still worried of the unknown instead of worrying of the known. I talk to my son about racism as much as I can, but this protest did more for us than provided exercise. My oldest got a lesson directly from the people, without them having to talk directly to him. Their goal, their positive energy, and the protest did the talking. All I had to do was show up and be that dad we all want to be, and reinforce or debunk a few things. I was sore as hell the next day. Jordans are not good walking shoes, but damn it, I was proud. My son, my family, was on the right side of history, and I, along with 1,000 other Staten Islanders, were there with them. We got that work, and we put in that work together. One together, all together. Black Lives Matter, make your presence felt, we matter, fatherhood is lit.